Hello, and welcome to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. The Mosaic Community exists to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. We gather on Sundays in the heart of the Hollywood District at 1832 Northeast Cesar E. Chavez Boulevard. Our Sunday gatherings start at 9:15 and 11 a.m., as well as 6:15 p.m., with child care at each gathering. We also gather all over the city throughout the week in life groups. To hear more about what God is doing at Mosaic, or for more information, please visit the website at www.mosaicportland.org. And now, here's this week's talk.
Okay, everybody. There's a hug fest going over here on this side. I have no what it wonder why, huh? All grandmas and grandpas and grandchildren and children and everybody are having a great Father's Day together. So we're just so glad. Thanks for the dedication, Jason. And just we've done that in all three services today. And it's such an important part of the community, the body of Christ, to engage in the blessing of the little children, which is what Jesus did. Hey, we've been in a series, and the series was entitled The Constant Warrior. And I was supposed to wrap that up tonight from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, which I will pull on. But Tim Osborne, our lead pastor, and I said, Tim, do you think we should pull an audible this week? And an audible is when you're on the line as a quarterback and you change the play. And in light of what happened this last week in our city and what it reflects in terms of a wider perspective of our culture, we pulled an audible, and I'd like to talk to you about surviving the storms of life. We'll connect it to the Ephesians 6:18 passage, which says, I pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Be alert and always keep on praying. If you're in the constant warrior, as we have ended talking about all of the armor that we're to be wearing that is listed before this verse on prayer, it then comes underneath all of that battling, all of that challenge that we face in life, which refers to the storms of life and the struggles of life and the trouble of life. And it says, as you battle that, you're going to need to be a person of prayer. And so I want to put this verse into the context of John 16:33, which has kind of been an undergirding verse as we've worked our way through the Ephesians passage and talked about being a constant warrior in battle, in trouble, in challenge. Behind that, we've used this verse. Jesus, at the end of his life, saying, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So we are in battle, but I'd like to talk about surviving the storms of life tonight in light of what happened this last week. I'd like to talk about the peace that Jesus offers in a world of trouble as we make our way through the uncertainties that surround us from day to day. Would you pray with me? Father, as we put this truth down, it is foundational to our well-being as Christ followers. And we just ask that you would help us to hear the Word of God through the Spirit of God in our own spirit tonight. Through Christ we pray. Amen. It has always been, but it is increasingly hard for me to watch or read the news. I don't know if any of you are experiencing that, but the stuff that's going on in the world, and this last week, the shooting in our schools. If we just back up a little bit before last week, we go to Thursday, June 5th, when Paul Lee was killed at Seattle Pacific University. And what some of you don't know about Paul Lee was he's from Portland, and Dominic Kahn, who is from our church over at Missio Church. Missio is a church plant, a daughter church or a sister church of Mosaic that we have sent out from Mosaic. And John Chang has been the lead pastor there, and Dominic has been on the staff. Dominic used to be was the youth pastor for Paul Lee, who was killed when Paul was here in Portland. And so it was Dominic, our pastor over at Missio, that led the services last week for the young man that was killed at Seattle Pacific University. That strikes close to home again. But Tuesday at 8 o'clock in the morning struck exceptionally and extremely close to home when at Reynolds High School, Emilio Hoffman was shot by Jared Padgett about 8:05 in the morning. And Ethan Osborne, son of Tim and Abby, Tim, our lead pastor, was in the gymnasium and in that class with what would have been his fellow classmates, Emilio being one of them. And right next door, the shooting is taking place. And so you can just imagine the fear and the uncertainty that went through the hearts of so many people when we began to hear what had happened, and then we began to hear how close it came to someone in our church family whom we love so much. So as we move into this talk tonight, I'm taking the concept of prayer from Ephesians 6 and I'm connecting it to the concept of, in the world you will have trouble, but fear not, I have overcome the world. And I'd like to begin with a prayer for the two families, for Emilio's family, who was shot and killed by a fellow classmate. And let's pray for Jared. Let's pray for these families. And what I've done is I brought a couple of my prayer books tonight. I'm a collector of prayer books because quite often I don't know how to pray. But when I pray other people's prayers, sometimes they say exactly what I want to say. And Ruth Calkin wrote this prayer that comes from a book called Lord, You Love to Say Yes. And I think she understands what's going on in the families of the Hoffmans and the Padgetts better than any of us. I'd like us to bow our heads and pray for the families tonight. She writes this prayer, Lord of my aching heart. He was so young, so very young, with all of life before him, exuberant, vital, full of promise, of breathless wonder, gifted, intelligent, sensitive, always inquisitive, eager to learn, to know, to do, admired by his teachers, extolled by his friends, loved, so dearly loved. Lord, no longer dare I beat my fists upon the walls of heaven. I am too weary, too sorrow consumed. I know now that 10,000 whys will never bring him back. In pitch darkness, I have shouted my whys. My reward, a sea of shadowed silence. What is left? What more shall I ask? Just this, dear God. Think through me your thoughts. Create within me your peace. Until there is born in my aching heart the trust of the unexplained. Amen. We see the news of the shootings that take us back years now to Columbine and Sandy Hook, and we just keep going down the list, but then we widen out into our world. And I turned on the news two nights ago, and Ruth and I have been out of town a fair bit and haven't been following the news, and all of a sudden I hear about this extremist religious faction that's rolling through Iraq and turning the whole country upside down and undoing what we gave 4,000 plus soldiers' lives for from the United States, and thousands upon thousands of Iraqi soldiers and people, citizens of that country have died. And now everything is an uncertainty again. And I'm saying to myself, what is going on? And what must the families of these soldiers be saying who lost loved ones to see a country destabilized so quickly again? And then we see the struggles continuing on in Afghanistan, a war that's gone on way too long. And then we turn to the civil wars that rage in Syria, Sudan, and the Congo. And we go, what is this? Why is this? And then we look at the climate crisis that happens in our culture. And we're tired of tornadoes that flatten communities. We're tired of typhoons that just sweep over beach communities and kill thousands. We're tired of tsunamis and hurricanes and droughts. And after the climate crisis and all the uncertainties that we've watched going on over the last year or two or three, we turn to the humanitarian crises that are happening in our world. 7 billion people on planet Earth now, with almost 1 billion that don't have enough to eat tonight. 18 people die every minute from starvation. Since I started speaking, how many have died each minute? 18 each minute in the 5 minutes since I've started. There are 42 million refugees in the world that are displaced because of persecution or conflict. It brings me back to my prayer book, to the prayer that a friend gave me before he died of cancer. Oh Lord our God, when the storm is loud and the night is dark and the soul is sad and the heart is oppressed, then as weary travelers, may we look to Thee, and beholding the light of Thy love, may it bear us on until we learn to sing Thy song in the night. Until we learn to sing Your song in the night amid the storms of life. There's only one way we will pray amid the uncertainty of life, and that's that we believe that God listens. This is one of the most critical aspects of being able to move into this teaching that Jesus gives in John, that in a world you will have trouble, but I have overcome. You need to believe something. God listens. We can't always understand how He is listening or whether He is listening in terms of our emotions, but God is listening. The Bible is clear on that. Psalm 34:17 says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears." Listen to these other verses. They all use the word hear. 1 John 5:14, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to Your will, You hear us." Psalm 55:17, "Evening and morning and noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice." Isaiah 65:24, "Before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear." Our God hears. Our God hears our prayers. There's no other place to go in times of trouble. And both prayers that I've read already have stated that I can't see You, I can't feel You, but I believe You hear me. And that's the place we go in time of trouble, the belief that God hears us. So John 16:33 is our foundation for two themes this evening. Jesus says, "I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world." Jesus is sharing this with His disciples just before He is going to die. And we're kind of used to the story of what happened to Jesus. And we may have grown up with it and heard it each Easter. And you just need to understand something. Jesus knows that His death is going to devastate His disciples. Not only is He going to die when they think He's going to become the Messiah and do something spectacular. Not only is He going to die, He's going to die on a cross. He's going to be tortured. It's going to be horrendous to watch what's going to happen. And knowing that this is going to happen, Jesus wants to give His disciples something to hang on in the confusion of another thing, a crisis, trouble that does not make sense. This will not make sense to you, Peter, John, Thomas, Bartholomew, the disciples. This will not make sense to you, Andrew. In the world, you will have trouble, and you're going to see such trouble in the next weeks. But fear not, I've overcome the world. I want you to have peace when things don't make sense. So let's talk about surviving the storms of life from this text in two ways. First of all, Jesus gives us a prediction. And secondly, He gives us a promise. And these, the prediction and the promise, are the keys to survival. This is where we hold on in the storms of life. First of all, Jesus leaves us a prediction. You know what it is. In the world, you will have trouble. It's a fundamental statement about reality that Jesus is making. Fundamental statement about the way life is. In the world, you will have trouble. The fundamental struggle with the rest of us about this is so many of us don't want to believe that. We ask the question when something happens to us that's inexplainably difficult or painful or troublesome or confusing, why is this happening to me? Why would God let this happen to me? I ask that question. You ask that question. As a pastor, I meet people all the time who are believers who are asking that question. Why is this happening to us? Why is so much happening to us in such a short period of time, they're asking, when it's one crisis that follows another? This doesn't fit my expectations, we cry out. I bargained for a good life. I've tried to do what God has told me to do. I don't understand why he would let this occur. But God has said it in the scriptures. Expect trouble. I've told you these things so you'd be prepared in advance for the reality of the way it is in the world. There's something wrong with the planet. Oh, it's a grand planet. It's a beautiful planet. And it leads you into thinking that it could be perfect because we were meant for perfection. So in our hearts, in our lives, in our souls, we have this deep longing for a life that makes sense, that is without trouble, because we were made for that. Because we were created in the image of God for perfection, moral perfection, and the perfection of beauty and love and relationships and all that goes with that. We were created for the perfect world. So it's no surprise that we see the grand planet and look at it and go, I want a perfect life. I want a perfect marriage and children, or I want a perfect career, or I want perfect financial. I want life to work. I want to have friends. And I want to be happy, and I don't want to be. And then we just fill in the blanks of what we don't want to be because the planet is defective. Jesus knew that. It was going to be so defective. God was going to hang on a cross in front of his disciples. And he says, in the world you will see trouble, but fear not. When I became a pastor, the curtain was lifted in my life. Now that was over 30 years ago, so let's not talk about how long this has been going on. But the curtain was lifted in my life as I began to move closer to pain and trouble and suffering. I remember dedicating a baby at OHSU. But that baby, the reason I was there is because that baby was only going to live a day. And the parents asked, could you come quickly to the hospital so we could dedicate our baby before we lose our baby? And I remember rushing to the emergency because I had found out at church in the morning as I was stepping off the second service before the third that our elder, my dear friend Kel, had been killed and his daughter was uncertain and she died the next day. And so we had a double funeral later on that week. And I just asked myself, what is the meaning of this? To stand by parents in a courtroom as their son is sentenced, or to stand by parents as a child has committed suicide, to listen to the story of a spouse who's been betrayed by a husband or a wife who's run off with another person, and I look into the eyes of the betrayed individual and I realize that they feel like their whole world has been lost, to listen to people who describe their terminal illness and to hear the word cancer, 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 to sit with people in financial crisis who had everything and lost it all, and the stories just go on and on. They're not just my stories. They're your stories, too, if you've been around a while. I was in a bubble as a young man. I came out of that bubble to see the tears and to feel the agony and to sense the confusion that most, if not all of us, sense here tonight, even this week, or as we move from month to month and watch the history of our world. It is conflicted and it is troubled. And there is something wrong on planet Earth. Helmut Thielicke, a German pastor, was in the United States and did an extensive tour of the United States, probably spoke in many places, and then he was asked what he thought was the greatest defect among American Christians. And this was his response. They have an inadequate view of suffering. They have an inadequate view of suffering. We tend to think that we should be able to completely avoid suffering. And when it comes into our lives, we ask, why does this have to happen? We still seem to believe we have a right that no suffering should have to occur in our lives. And we try to organize and manage our lives so that no suffering enters in. And when it does, we ask the question, why did that have to happen? Well, I don't want to be somebody who's a bearer of sad tidings tonight, but Jesus said very specifically, in the world, you will have trouble. He gives us a prediction. Peter predicted it in a different way. He said, dear friends, don't be surprised by the fiery ordeal that has come to test you. as though something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised by trouble. As I encounter crises and as you encounter crises, we need to learn to say with Jesus, in the world, we will have trouble. Jesus said this would happen. Jesus leaves us a prediction loud and clear. Then he adds another statement. While giving us the statement of reality about trouble, he trumps it with a beautiful statement of hope. And the statement is this: take heart, I have overcome the world. Take heart, I have overcome the world. The second key to surviving the storms of life is to realize that in the face of the trouble that comes, we have an answer that trumps, that exceeds, that's more compelling and more hope-filled than anything we could possibly hold on to. And it answers and meets us at the deepest and darkest places, like Ruth's prayer that we read for the families of the parents who've lost kids this last week. At the darkest place, he says, I have overcome the world. In fact, when you see me on the cross, you will not understand this, but I have overcome the world by going to that cross and taking on myself that which you will never have to know. I've been there to the darkest place, and I overcame it for you. When he says, I have overcome the world, that word overcome is nakao in Greek. And you might just say, sounds familiar. It does, doesn't it? Nike. Nakao. Nike. Greek. Means victory. Means overcome. It means two things. That Christ ensures that, first of all, trouble is temporary. Trouble is not permanent. This world is going to give way to another world. This is the hope we live with. In the old song that was sung and given to us, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. This world will give way to another way. And we find that so clearly in Revelation 21:4, when we're at the end of this world order and he says, God, Jesus, will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. In Jesus Christ, we have been brought into the hope of a whole new world order. The old order of things has passed away. That's our point of hope. In the world, you will have trouble because you're in the old order of things, but it has passed away. And we will enter a new order. No tears, no mourning, no crying, no pain, no death, no suffering, no trouble. So first of all, Jesus is saying to us through this in John, trouble is temporary. The old order will pass away. And secondly, he is trying to tell us and get his disciples ready for this. Trouble is transforming. This trouble is not without a purpose. It is getting us ready for glory. Our faith is being shaped through the trouble. It's not just trouble without meaning. It's horrendous, the trouble. It's overwhelming at times. The things that we can describe that have happened, even here in this room, if we heard all the stories, would overwhelm us. But this trouble is designed to form us for the new world order. Because in Romans 8:18 says, our present sufferings are not to be compared with the glory that will be revealed. No matter how dark what happened at Reynolds High School was this last week, no matter how deep the pain of Emilio's parents and family, the suffering that we are going through and that they are going through, God has said there is a glory that is to be revealed for the children of God that will trump and exceed any suffering on planet Earth. Can you imagine how great that glory is as we imagine how deep the suffering is? We are getting set up for a new world order where the glory will trump the pain. So Christ is the key to overcoming. The world would just teach us to endure. I remember a poem that I probably learned in junior high or high school, and you did too, maybe, by Rudyard Kipling called If. I just want to read a little bit of it to you. I really like this poem. But I want to say something about it. If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good or talk too wise, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two imposters just the same, if you can bear to hear the truth you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken and stoop and build them up with worn out tools. And so it goes and ends with, if you can do that, yours is the earth and everything that's in it. And what is more, you'll be a man, my son. It's a nice poem. I simply can't give it to a refugee in the camp in Sudan. I can't. Because it's saying is that if you by yourself can survive all of life's tragedies, then you'll have the world. And you'll be a man or woman. And there's just too much trouble in the world to say that somebody can sustain on their own and become this kind of person without Christ. It's a wonderful challenge, but it doesn't have the real answer for how we live this way. When we experience and we enter into the dark night of the soul, you can't simply find enough in this poem to give you the hope and the answers to life. When you're hurt, what do you need the most? When you're devastated by trouble, what do you need the most? Not a theological explanation from God. Not a theological explanation from His Word. You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You don't need to know the truth. You need to be able to experience. And the only way you can experience Jesus in time of trouble is by taking His words before He went to the cross. Fear not, I have overcome the world. In the world, you're going to have trouble, but I'm going to the cross to end that. The only way we're going to be able to come to a relationship with Jesus is to know that Jesus came into relationship with us at the cross. That all the darkness and all the trouble and all the shootings and all the suicides and all the wars and all the hate and all the abuse and all the whatever you want to put in there, all of that was laid on Jesus' shoulders as He hung on that cross. We don't need an explanation from God. We need a revelation. We need a relationship that provides love and strength. And that is found in the person of Jesus Christ on the cross. So Jesus says in this verse in John, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. But take heart. The word take heart, that verb, is in the imperative mood in language. It's a command. He's saying, have courage. Don't be afraid. He's offering a command of encouragement to those who are in distress at the deepest possible place. Because he's saying, I'm going to the place that's even deeper and darker than your pain. I will know your pain. I will join you in your pain. I will have experienced it on the cross. I will be there for you relationally. Jesus leaves us this promise. It's one that instills great hope. The only hope in the face of crisis. So, what have we got amid the storms of life? The keys to survival. We can expect trouble. In the world, you will have trouble. But we have to count on the promise, not just see the prediction. And the promise is this: fear not. Be not afraid. Take hope. Jesus has overcome the world. I want to end by grabbing my prayer books. I so love collecting prayer books because, as I said earlier on, they give me words that I can't find. And I have two prayers to end our evening. Would you bow your heads? Two prayers from a little prayer book called All Will Be Well. I believe this prayer, first of all, I should say, is from Sheila Cassidy in England. I believe that God has the whole world in his hands. He is not a bystander at the pain of the world. He does not stand like Peter, wringing his hands in the shadows, but is there in the dock on the rack, high on the gallows tree. He is in the pain of the lunatic, the tortured, and those racked by grief. His is the blood that flows in the gutter. His are the veins burned by heroin, and his lungs choked by AIDS. His is the heart broken by suffering. His the despair of the mute, the oppressed, the man with the gun to his head. He is the God of paradox. And this last prayer by Miriam Winter. I believe in you, O Holy One, although at times there no longer seems any reason for believing. When evil stalks my dwelling place and loneliness leaves indelible traces of doubt on my childhood faith, I light a lamp in a secret room where my heart hides. Where my heart hides its tradition, and I quietly hug your promises as I sing songs to you. I believe in you. Believe in me. May we believe forever. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. We broadcast every week from Portland, Oregon. Our prayer is that you've been blessed by what you've heard, and we hope that you'll join us for one of our Sunday gatherings. For more information on our community and how to be a part of Mosaic, please visit www.mosaicportland.org. Thank you for listening.